Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we turn to the first book of Holy Scripture. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven. Number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Thus our text. Do you remember life just a few years ago? Seems like we had everything all figured out, didn't we? The economy was going strong, people were working, our kids were busy with lots of activities. Things weren't perfect, but we sure felt like we had a handle on things, didn't we? When I was here with you all, life seemed simpler than it does now. And in a similar way, Abram in our text might have felt like he was in a place in life where he really understood things too. He had just rescued Lot and his family from a huge army with a small band of people to assist him. He had received a good amount of spoil from that victory, becoming rather wealthy. And he had just been blessed by the priest Melchizedek. Abram was on top of the world, humanly speaking. He had things pretty well figured out. And it's with all of this in mind then that the word of the Lord coming to him might have sounded a bit strange when the Lord says, Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your reward shall be very great. Well, Abram had just won a great victory. What did he have to be afraid of? Through his victory, he had already received a great reward, had become a wealthy man. And not only had he gained much wealth, he had also grown in reputation. Now Abram was a man to be feared. But with one word from the Lord, the illusion is shattered. What do all of these earthly goods and honor amount to? Where will it go? And he realizes that he does have reason to fear. He realizes that his reward thus far is very little. And his heart is flayed open. These last 2 years have been some hard ones, haven't they? So much has changed and so many things have been lost. In truth, our own idols have been dragged out in front of us and yanked from our hands. And this has left us feeling flayed open as well. How many of you have felt in the last year or two that you don't recognize this world anymore? Right. How many of you have felt like things were going out of control? This is the participation part of the sermon. You guys can actually respond. Yeah, there we go. How many of you have felt anger at the things going on around you? How many of you have felt sorrow to see what's happening around you? Yes, dear friends, these are difficult days. We have learned many troubling things in the past few years. Most important of which is exactly what our idols are. See, Luther tells us that an idol is anything to which we look for our ultimate good. But we today have lost a sense of what it means to look to something for our good. We don't really use that kind of language, and it doesn't quite make sense. So another way that we can explain it for our context is this. An idol is anything that would bring us to regularly ignore God's commands. We can create an idol out of money and thereby covet what our neighbors have. We can make an idol out of our jobs and regularly forsake the gathering of the saints. We can make an idol out of safety and refuse to go where God has called us to be. We can make an idol out of our country and speak ill of our neighbors who don't think about things the way that we do. If there is something in our lives that is driving us away from Christ, away from His church, and away from His altar, it has become an idol. And it is something for us to repent over and to remove from our lives. You see, truly, in these last few years, we have learned that our world is not safe. We have been reminded that we cannot put our trust in princes, no matter how much we may want to. We have seen just how quickly those with political power can move to abuse it and thereby abuse the people whom they are sworn to govern. We have discovered how fragile our lives really are, both materially and socially. We have seen our entire civilization shaken to the core and changing at breakneck speed. It didn't take much for the world to come to a screeching halt, and things aren't exactly looking up. We are seeing the worst inflation that we've seen in our lifetimes. And now they're telling us to prepare for another recession, yet another time of financial difficulty. Truly, these are times of great trial, and there is much for us to be afraid of. And what do we do in these times? Where do we turn in times of trial? When there are threats against us that are more than simply an enemy to punch in the nose or a problem that we can't just throw money at? Do we just become filled with anger because our idols are under attack and we don't know what to do? Do we retreat into ourselves and think that the whole world will just go away if we ignore it? Honestly, we find in these times just how powerless we really are. There is nothing that we can do to save ourselves, to give ourselves security. Because all of the things that we might turn to for a sense of security in this world will fail us because they can be taken away. Our freedom, our finances, our health, our families, all of it. And yet your Lord says to you this day, fear not, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our shield. And a shield is not something that simply makes the impacts of the enemy go away. A shield does more than turn away the attacks of the enemy. A shield absorbs the attacks of the enemy. A shield receives those attacks so that we do not. And our Lord Jesus Christ has absorbed the attacks of the enemy. At the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ suffered the full weight of the attack of Satan against Him. Everything that the darkness could bring to bear was brought against our Lord as He hung upon the cross. And as John tells us, the darkness has not overcome Him. but it tried. And Jesus put himself between us and Satan, so that he would take that strike upon himself, that you would be safe. And more than that, Jesus also has suffered the full weight of the Father's wrath against sin. Scripture tells us that Jesus became sin for us. As he hung on the cross, he was rejected by the Father. He suffered the wrath that you and I deserve because of our sins. And he did this to shield us from the divine wrath that we have rightly earned, that our sins have rightly bought us. But it is at the cross that our Lord Jesus Christ makes it clear that he is our shield. And it doesn't end there either, because our Lord is still with us. He has promised to be with us, to be with you until the very end of the age. He shields and protects us even now from the assaults of the evil one. He even now intercedes for us before the Father. Jesus is the one who is our shield. He is the one who calls us to come and gather, to receive the many blessings that he freely desires to give. He calls us to be together, to receive his gifts. And though Abram did not know him as Jesus, he believed that the Lord was his shield. He believed that he would receive a greater reward, and this was credited to him as righteousness. And this is the same for us. We have righteousness before the Father because we have believed. And not because we've accepted this belief into our hearts or because we made a conscious decision to believe, but simply because our gracious and loving Father has placed this faith into our hearts. He has given us the very thing that he requires: faith. And this faith in Christ is the means by which Christ's righteousness, that is far greater than any kind of righteousness we might hope to achieve through our own works or deeds, is given to us. We receive his righteousness through faith alone. And truly, dear friends, there is a reward for you as well. Not a reward that is to be sought or expected in this life. We ought not expect that our reward from our eternal God would be something as passing and temporary and transitory as earthly goods. What good would there be in that? No, we have something far, far greater. We have the promise of eternal life. We have the certainty that our sins are forgiven by our gracious and loving Lord. We have salvation from sin, death, and the devil. We have the absolute and unshakable certainty and promise that we belong to Christ. You belong to Christ. He is our rock. He is our shield. He is our Lord, who has made us his own through his precious and sacred blood shed for us at the cross, and that is delivered for us at the altar. Truly, our reward is very great, because it is a reward that will last into eternity. When we understand the true power of our God, the nature of what he has given to us, we find that there is really nothing to fear in this life. For if God is for us, who can be against us? And though we may struggle, and we may weep in this life. We have the certainty of God's love to shield us, to carry us through. We have the promise of the resurrection. We have the promise of eternal life that will not fade and will not be taken away. And truly, in this, we are more wealthy than Abram. We are more wealthy than anyone else. For we have Christ. And because we have Him, we need nothing more. We do not need the things that our idols falsely promise us. We do not need the world's goods or wealth. We need only Christ. For in Him, we have everything. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord to life everlasting. Amen.